Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 563-999-3065. That's 563-999-3065. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, it's an interesting Monday Night Raw, isn't it? Because we had two separate incidents of heels versus heels, and both of them really involved the Judgment Day. And it's obvious to me that the Judgment Day is going to be going through some major changes very, very soon. We have Rhea Ripley, who's being cheered more than booed. We have a situation with Damian Priest where it's quite obvious that they're trying to soften his heelish persona up a little bit. And so really all we're left with is Dominic, JD, and Finn. And I think last night was the beginning of a test. You know, the WWE does these things for a reason. They'll put these two in the ring together, both of them heels, and say, let's see who the audience sides with. And in both cases, the audience sided with Judgment Day for the most part. And Dominic is one of the most hated performers on the roster. And he still basically wrestled as the face in that match. So obviously there's some big changes coming to Judgment Day, and I'm not exactly sure when it's going to take place, but I'm assuming it'll probably come to a head at WrestleMania. So let's take this one step at a time, and then we'll hit on what I think is going to happen with Judgment Day. First off, we get Cody Rhodes in the ring. Cody Rhodes is addressing the Rocks and the Bloodlines promo from Friday, in which they have challenged him and Seth Rollins to a match on night one of WrestleMania. Cody Rhodes says that he's basically tired of The Rock, and but he cannot speak for Seth Rollins. So he's going to bring Seth Rollins out. Seth Rollins comes out. Cody says, look, Drew McIntyre's a formidable opponent, one of the last guys to beat me, one of the two guys to beat me while I'm here. And I understand if you want to focus on him. I understand if you can't have my back. I get it. Seth Rollins responds by saying, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told Drew McIntyre last week. If we don't get rid of the Bloodline, things are going to get worse. Not just your story that needs to be finished. With The Rock now possibly being a part of the Bloodline on a more permanent basis, this is going to metastasize, and who knows where it's going to lead. So there's nothing really more important than getting rid of the Bloodline. Now, I've heard it said by several people that this is a big setup and Cody Rhodes is not going to finish his story thanks to Seth Rollins, who's going to turn his back on him, is going to turn heel, going to sabotage him and justify it by saying, you know, you came in this federation and tried to sabotage me and everything. Here's why I really don't think that's going to happen. Twofold why I don't think it's going to happen. And listen, it may. But here's why I think it won't. Number one, their match is on night one. So I assume that Seth Rollins will not be defending his title on night one, because I doubt he's going to wrestle twice in the same night. So if Seth Rollins were to double-cross Cody Rhodes on night one, night two makes Drew McIntyre the face. I don't see that happening. Now, there's a way to do it, and that would be to have Seth Rollins do very little to nothing in that match, and then I guess he could wrestle on night one and retain or lose or whatever he's going to do. But I just don't see this. I don't see Seth Rollins right now going back into a heel territory. You've been there. You've done that. You rode that wave for a long time. And I'm not sure it's the right time. I just don't see that. I think it's more likely that it's The Rock who's bluffing. I think it's more likely that The Rock is going to cost Roman than Seth is going to cost Cody. Plans could change. I don't think they thought that The Rock was going to be so popular as a heel. It's turned out he's very, very popular as a heel. Fans love it when he does his heel shtick, so maybe they want to stick that around for a little while. I don't know. But I think the odds are kind of small that Seth Rollins is turning on Cody, even though it is a nice setup for it, even though it does feel that way. I just don't see how it makes any real sense or anything major is going to come out of it other than another Seth Rollins-Cody Rhodes feud, which no one is up for. So anyway, I do want to mention this about The Rock. Apparently he issued an apology for the meth and crack references on Friday night. Now, this is exactly what we talked about on Sunday, folks. Now, when I said, how come the guy can't have a sign that says, die, Rocky, die, if The Rock can mention everybody's a crackhead and a meth head, I did not mean that The Rock shouldn't be allowed to do that. I meant the opposite. I meant that the guy should be able to have the sign and The Rock should be able to do that. The fact that he had to apologize speaks volumes about where wrestling is heading. Can't cut that promo, which obviously The Rock did flawlessly and remembered the time when it would have been of no consequence. Without having to apologize, wrestling's in for some hard times. If you cannot get yourself over as a heel by pushing some buttons, then you're relegated to sneak attack, oh, this town sucks, and all the old standard cliched crapola that really doesn't work anymore. So this is a problem, as we went into depth with on Sunday. And I said WrestleMania needs to change this. It needs to be the new beginning, and it doesn't look like it's going to be, because if you've made The Rock apologize for that, then I don't really have any optimism that we're going to see a new era after WrestleMania. Anyway, Mike, the promo was okay. I know there's a lot of people saying this is a setup for Seth Rollins' heel turn on Cody, but I'm just not seeing that.
He's too popular. He's too popular. I mean, they still sing his song when he's in the coming out or coming into the ring, right? They still sing his song. He's still too popular. You don't want a popular heel. You already got The Rock, who's a popular heel, right? So
yep.
It's not logical for him to do that. It's not logical for. At this point, it's not logical for Seth Rollins to turn heel right now, especially not on Cody Rhodes, you know, because if what they're saying is true, what you just said is true about the possibility that Rock's going to flip on Roman, why would you have both guys flip on almost in the same pay-per-view, almost in the same night?
Well, you wouldn't do that. It's one or the other. It's definitely one or the other. It's not going to be both. It's one or the other. But let's just say it's Seth. Well, where do we go from there? Seth Rollins joining the bloodline because, well, you're my blood brother? That's not going to work. It's not going to work. Rollins would have what? No title? And if he did have the title, he'd be going against Drew McIntyre, who would then be a de facto face if he did this on night one. So that wouldn't work. Then if Seth Rollins retained the title, then you'd have Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns both as champions in the bloodline. That wouldn't work. I don't see, and then it's just going to lead to Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins, which has already been done to death. And that would mean that there's no possible way that Cody would beat Roman again, because it would be all set up for Seth Rollins' feud. So if that's what they've got on the burner, I think that's a bad storyline. Now, I heard Seth Rollins may want to take a little time off. This would be the perfect way. If you have Drew McIntyre, bring him to the limit, but lose. Claymore kick him on the way out, and out comes Damian Priest to pick the bones. Becomes the temporary champion anyway. Then you have Damian Priest versus Gunther for the main title, which I would imagine the WWE title, which I imagine is what they're setting up based on what I see last night. So anyway, that's my thoughts on the opening. We then get to Gunther versus Dominic Mysterio. And sure enough, here we go with the Judgment Day versus Imperium type situation. Now, clearly the WWE wanted to do a little bit of a test. They said, we are going to put Dominic Mysterio, arguably the most hated guy in the Federation, in with arguably the second most hated guy in the Federation. And we'll see. And what happens? Well, the fans are a little bit indifferent, but to be honest with you, there's more people on Dominic's side, I think, than Gunther. And Dominic certainly played that match off, wrestling as a babyface, the comeback, the, you know, all that stuff. So I'm guessing that the WWE is testing the waters on turning a couple of members of the Judgment Day, if not all of them, face. Now, we'll get into a little bit later how Andrade seems to be having this thing with Mysterio, and we'll see what's up with that. But to me, this is a sign. And then later on, they'd say, well, Imperium's going to take on Finn and Damian Priest. And I said, okay, well, again, you're testing the waters here, seeing who the fans are going to side with. And in both cases, Todd, it appears as though the fans are on Judgment Day's side. Yep. Let's see if we got the phones working all. Here we go again with the phones not working. Just had it working. For some reason it is now not working. It should be. Anyway, while we're waiting to see if the phones work, I do think that this is the test pattern for will the Judgment Day fly as a face group. The short answer is probably not with all of them. I don't see necessarily J.D. McDonough coming across as a face. I don't think long-term Dominic is going to work as a face right now. Wait a little while, that might happen. I do think Rhea is very close to a face, just a gray area face, and I think Damian Priest is getting pretty close to that as well. Okay, we're going to try to refresh the system, so hang on, folks. All right, let's check that out and see what happens. Mike, can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Todd will have to call back. Something happened with his phone line, I guess. You couldn't hear him, but I can hear Mike. So what do you think? You think this is a test to see which of these factions the fans would side with?
Yeah, they're already cheering Rhea. Everybody's already cheering. I mean, throw out the fact that they just came back from put the Australia trip, because you knew she was going to be cheered when she went to Australia, right? You knew that.
Yeah.
But everywhere else, she's being cheered, right? Even doing her mommy bit, she's being cheered, right? So if they're about ready, they know she's going to go, and they have a good feeling that what's his name? Priest is going to go. Now, he may not go until, he may not turn until they may wait to cheat him out of something until he wins the title, you know, because that's basically earmarked for a jealous Finn Balor to come in there and say, I'm going to screw you out of this title, right?
Right.
So they may be not willing to pull the pin on Damian Priest as a face just yet until he has that title. All right.
Or they may just try to keep them all in a gray area. I don't know. I don't know what the new regime wants to do. If they want gray area heels where heels versus heels and faces versus faces. Later on, we saw Andretti versus Apollo. They're both faces. So maybe this is what we're going to see. I don't know. Anyway, Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark go against the former champions, Katana Chance, Caden Carter. This is a good match. I love the double Spanish fly. I do love Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark as a tag team. My problem with this match is as follows. Contenders match for the tag team titles. So actually, it's a twofold problem. Number one, after Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark win, Damage Control gets in to say they're going to get their shot next week. Well, you've got a match on NXT in NXT. So I guess we know who's going to win that. I mean, that's foolish. You're trying to promote NXT. You're trying to get people eyes to go over to that product. And you basically say, well, at one of the big events of NXT, we're already just going to tell you the end. That's dumb as dirt. Then number two, when you have a team or champion even, solo champion even, that just won the title or titles, you don't immediately put the top contenders against them because we know they're not going to win. We know that, well, you just barely won these titles. You're not taking it off them. So we know that that's not going to happen. What you do with a situation like that is you have Damage Control face some lesser talent for maybe a month and a half while you build up Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler to the point where you say they may actually win. The tag team champions have had it a few months. They've defeated all the underdog teams, basically, and even one or two teams that weren't so much an underdog, but now this is the top team, and they may not win. That's how you promote it. You don't automatically say, you just won the belts a week ago, we're putting you against the top team right now. Because when you do that, it kind of gives away that you're still going to retain the belts, because why give them to you if they just planned on taking them away that quickly, Todd? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said. You're making sense there with on the top team and making them lose the matches.
Is that what they did with Gunther? Did they say, okay, well, you know what? Gunther just won the belt, so we're putting him up against Jey Uso.
Oh,
no, they didn't do that. That's exactly what they did not do. For some reason, your phone line works, Todd, but I can't mute you, so you'll have to be super unnoisy during this. I don't know why I can't mute your line, but I cannot. Anyway, Mike, you know what I mean? You don't really want that. You don't want the champions to have to face the top people the week or two after they win the titles. You wait for that.
Yeah, you're right on that, and that's the thing. And I just don't get it. I mean, if this is going to be the new era with TKO and stuff running this stuff, then it's going to make less sense than the old era when Vince and them were kind of fighting amongst themselves as to who's actually running this stuff, you know? So I just don't get it. And I'll say this. Zoe Stark keeps impressing the hell out of me. She's on the come. And we basically said that when we handicapped the division, right? When we handicapped the women's division. But Zoe Stark, there's going to come a time when this tag team is going to be split up because Zoe Stark has better things to do, you know. And that's nothing against Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler is a fine wrestler, fine performer, But Zoe Stark's young and she's on the come, you know?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think that's part of the problem with this team is we don't really take them seriously that they're going to be, you know, a team for a long, long period of time. The match is fine. The match itself will be fine. It's just that I just don't care for the fact that you put the top contenders in the match before you should, basically giving away the ending. Anyway, Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax. Well, we knew Liv Morgan was going to interfere, didn't we? And what I'm seeing here with this new management, Todd, is this. I'm seeing that they may want to get into this area where no one is really not fighting each other. In other words, faces can fight faces, heels can fight heels, everything's interchangeable. It depends on your preference, whether you boo or cheer someone based on who they're fighting. They don't seem to want to make too many definitive faces and heels.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, like you said before, like we talked about a couple of years ago when Triple H and them trying to do this gray area thing. They're trying to do like the old ECW back in the day when they'd have faces of fight faces and heels and fight heels. It just don't feel right there.
No, it doesn't. And look, here's the situation. Fans like to have that heel, or they like to have that ultimate baby face. If you gray area everything, I just don't think it's going to work long term. We then get Andrade versus Apollo. Apollo is alive. I didn't know where the hell Apollo was. When they said Apollo Crews, I'm like, holy mackerel, where'd you pull him out of? This is just a showcase for Andrade. Andrade has a problem. And I'll tell you what Andrade's problem is. Lack of personality. He has a problem that way. He's fine in the ring. In fact, he's great in the ring. However, with Zelina Vega, there was a chemistry there where it worked. And she could speak for him and things were working out. Putting him on his own like this. I really don't. I do think he's going to be involved in something with Dominic Mysterio very soon. But I don't know if this is going to work because the fans were kind of indifferent, really. And I know they knew Apollo wasn't going to win, and I know it wasn't exactly a great matchup. And again, here we go with these are two faces. Really, Mike, Apollo's not a heel. So I'm not sure if this was a great choice for Andrade's first match. That, you know, the fans were a little confused about who to cheer for.
Absolutely, and that's saying. And we know what's going to happen in probably somewhere around after WrestleMania, whatever, is that Charlotte's coming back and they're going to end up putting Andrade and Charlotte together, right? And there's where you're going to have somebody to speak for for Andrade, right? And look, he didn't use it this time, but as he was time was winding down in AEW, he was using the figure eight, figure four into the figure eight as one of his finishers.
Yep.
So you know that's coming. You know that's coming. All right, and you know the thing with him and Charlotte's coming at some point because Charlotte is coming back. There's no doubt in my mind Charlotte's coming back. So this is just to buy time until Charlotte comes back. They're just trying to buy time with Andrade.
Which is fine. I don't have a problem with that, except that it might be a really good idea if you're going to do that to try to promote him a bit as the face if that's what you want. You had a lot of, you know, lower mid-card or even preliminary heels you could have thrown against them, and you chose Apollo. I don't know. It just seems like a lazy decision and a weird decision to me. Anyway, before this, Adam Pearce made an announcement that there's going to be a gauntlet match to determine who Gunther's opponent will be at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship. And here's the people he puts in it. Ricochet, whose face has been on a milk carton, Shinsuke Nakamura, who has lost every Bronson Reed, who is not doing well, J.D. McDonough, please remind me of the last match he won, and Chad Gable. So Sami Zayn and Chad Gable are about the only two that can win it. No one wants to see any of these other people face Gunther at WrestleMania. So you've wasted your chance to have any drama for who's going to win this. Tell you, WWE, that's it? That's what you've got, huh? You've blown your load on this. So you have to have J.D. McDonough, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Bronson Reed in this, because, and Ricochet, because, well, we don't really have anybody else. Great. Fantastic. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's going to be Sami Zayn, but I'll tell you something. I'm not 100% convinced. The real story here is much more toward Chad Gable, I think. Yes, you have the Sami Zayn as an underdog, and he has no path to WrestleMania, and it's the rocky moment of, can Sami Zayn overcome this? And, you know, he failed before with Roman Reigns. Can he win? You have that story. But I think the Chad Gable one's better. The Chad Gable one has a more personal connection. Now, I don't know if you'd let Chad Gable have the Intercontinental Championship, but at least it had, I don't know. For me, I would rather see Chad Gable. I know there's a lot of people who feel differently. But I think the story has already written itself. I think it's a little late. I think he should have done this a while ago. Right after the momentum was hot when Chad Gable lost in front of his family and his kid was crying and everything, you got to build that up within like a month or two, month and a half. You probably waited too long. But I still say it's a better choice than Sami Zayn, even though I think Sami Zayn's very popular and it would be a good match. I just think the storyline's better with Chad Gable. Caller, are you there?
Mr. Damage is here.
Hey, Mr. Damage. So what's your thoughts on this?
I agree with you 100% that Chad Gable is a better storyline. I wanted to backtrack one second, if you wouldn't mind, about the faces versus vases controversy.
Sure.
I feel that the WWE and TKO are getting away from the simplicity of professional wrestling. The basic story of professional wrestling is the good guy versus the bad guy, and the fans are going to pay through the nose to see the good guy eventually win after the bad guy's beaten them down 100 times. That's the base. You've said it so many times. It's so easy to write professional wrestling. It's simplistic. They're getting away from it. The Joker, Batman needs the Joker. You know, I mean, what is Batman right without the Joker? Who's Luke Skywalker without Darth Vader? Remember back in the old days when a face versus a face, that was a huge deal. It was a spectacle, and then it went away and didn't happen for a long time. You know, so they're getting away from the basics of professional wrestling.
Yeah, well, I agree with you 100% on that, and I think that my hope is this. My hope is that they're not doing that. My hope is that they wanted to test the waters to say, if we turn Judgment Day all faces, will the fans accept them? And somebody said, they're not going to accept Dominic. They're not going to accept JD. So they said, well, let's test the waters on that. Let's put Dominic against Gunther, and if they're rooting for Gunther to kill him, I guess you're right. And let's maybe put JD in the tournament and see if anybody's interested in that. We do think they'll root for Damian Priest. We know they'll root for Finn because they have in the past. And obviously they're rooting for Rhea. So we got to test the waters on the other one. That's what I'm hoping. But realistically, I don't think that's the case. Because realistically, if you were going to do that, then you probably wouldn't put Apollo against Andrade because, again, that did Andrade no favors. So here comes Andrade out, and everybody says, oh, Andrade's going to make his debut. That's cool. We like Andrade. Oh, here comes Apollo. Well, he hasn't been seen in a while, and he's underutilized. We'd like to root for him, too. That doesn't do Andrade any favors. You need to put Andrade in there with somebody who nobody's rooting for. But you didn't. If you're going to get into this gray area, some people can get away with that. You can have a gray area heel or a gray area face. You can't have a whole federation full of them. Because as Mr. Damage just said, fans are going to pay big money for that. They're not going to pay money to see somebody get beat if they're like, well, I like him too. Anyway, there was a backstage argument where Ivar challenges Sami Zayn to a match. So we know we're going to get that. Judgment Day versus Imperium. Once again, Judgment Day plays the faces in this situation. There's no question about it. How many times did the commentary team talk about Balor's championship resume and Damian Priest absolutely making the big comeback? This was 100% testing the waters to see if they could possibly turn the Judgment Day face. The answer is you can, but I'm not sure why you would. Pick a member. Pick a member. It's going to be Rhea. So, okay, we get Rhea, but she's a woman, so, you know, that's fine because you don't have a woman to go against her or anything, another woman in Judgment Day. Pick a male, if it happens to be Damian Priest, and have the rest of the guys turn on him. If it happens to be Finn, and have the rest of the guys turn on him. Well, it doesn't matter who it is. Then you'll get your series of matches against various members of the Judgment Day. Now, what I would personally do is I would have it be Damian Priest. I would have Finn Balor, jealous that Damian Priest has somehow become the de facto leader because Rhea Ripley's not around much, and let R-Truth come to make the save. Damian Priest has said a bazillion times that he likes R-Truth, and then if R-Truth was the one to make the save and say, I told you so, he'd be popular with the fans. And then you can use R-Truth to play off of that with the Judgment Day doing something horrible to R-Truth in a few weeks and having Damian Priest be even more irate about that. You could promote Damian Priest as the face if you want to. You got a big problem. He's sitting around with that friggin' Money in the Bank briefcase. That's got to go. Once that's out of the way, whichever way you're going to take it, then maybe you can do this. But I got this weird feeling that the cash-in is going to – the ultimate match, in as far as I see, is going to be Gunther Damian Priest. We see this when Damian Priest came backstage and was talking about, in Spanish to Dominic. We sort of see where this is going. But don't do it with the whole Judgment Day, Mike, because I think that's a problem.
I think that's a problem as well. And think about this. You still got a pseudo bloodline going on because you've got The Rock and Roman and what's his name is still hanging around. So is Jimmy Uso. So you still got a pseudo bloodline going on. And Seth Rollins is threatening. He's threatening to put together a face shield. So there's your face group there. And also, from what I understand, Tama Tonga is on his way in to the WWE. And if he's on his way in, there's your replacement for AJ Styles with the Good Brothers.
Very possible, unless he goes to NXT first. We'll see where that goes. Then we get this weird thing with Ivar versus Sami Zayn. Now, you promoted Ivar for a good long time, and now suddenly you're cycling him down again. And to add insult to injury to this very weird booking, Valhalla comes out, supposedly this, vicious, sadistic Viking queen who somehow magically controls her men. And she puts the freaking deer antlers on Michael Cole, and they're laughing about it. And there's even a reference to Michael Cole blowing a load because she put the deer antlers on his head. What are you doing? Once again, are you taking away the heat? Oh no! How does Ivar have any heat? All of a sudden, they're lovable cosplayers who like to joke around with Michael Cole. How does that help Sami Zayn? I mean, if I'm a face in this federation, I'm furious. Because I'm saying, well, how do you want me to get over? Here I am. I'm supposed to be going out here. The crowd's supposed to be solidly behind me as I'm trying to conquer somebody that they hate, and then you make them lovable. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Now, I like Ivar, and I've always been a big, big Sarah Logan fan. Always have been. But this is ridiculous. I mean, this is just totally counterproductive to everything you're trying to do, damage. How do you, in the world of Sami Zayn, supposed to be, you know, totally into this, you know, face persona if half the people are saying, oh, that was kind of funny. I like Ivar. Oh, God, we're having trouble with the phone lines again. What is wrong with Blog Talk? I am so tired of this. Don't know if I can get damage on the phone. I'm going to try to refresh again, folks, because this is getting stale. Hopefully you can still hear me. We're going to be trying to get this back together phone line-wise in a second. And hopefully we can. Happens a lot with Blog Talk, and I'm not sure why. All right, let's try it again. Mr. Damage, can you hear me down there?
I'm here.
All right, good grief.
Yeah.
So,
what's worse than Ibar and playing bowling with Montez Ford? Remember that whole thing where they're going bowling and they're going to parks and
yeah.
They're doing – I mean, that was the worst ever they did to them.
But they were trying to make them faces. Mike, they were trying to make them faces. So it's okay for them to be, you know, outrageously funny. It was like the Bushwhackers. Now you have tried to make Ivar a serious threat. And what did you do last night? You made him a lovable, you know, cosplay Viking. Why would you
do that?
At the expense of Sami Zayn, by the way.
Yeah, and Sarah Logan, she looked very likable. You don't want her to be likable. She's going to be some vicious cultures.
Exactly. That's my point. My point is, was it funny? Yes. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to gray area everybody. Oh, nobody's too bad, and nobody's too good. Everybody's just sort of in the middle. Well, then nobody cares. Is that what happens in a movie? Do you go see a movie and you say, well, the bad guy's a nice guy. Oh, he robbed the bank, and he shot the cop. But then here he is in the park with his wife and kids, and, man, he loves her so much, and he's got the kid on his lap, and he's a pretty nice guy, and he's funny. Do you do that? No, you don't. Stop it already. Who the hell's writing this? I'm getting pissed at it. Every heel can't be a lovable heel. Then The Rock comes out there and tries to really be a bad guy, and you're like, apologize. Apologize for being a bad guy. Apologize for being a heel. Okay, well, if that's what you want out of wrestling, it's going to fail. The blueprint is as old as the hills, as simple as it can possibly be, and it's fail-proof. You have a villain, you have a hero. The villain does villainous things, gets away with it to a certain degree, gets the fans aggravated, gets the fans wanting to see that person get what's coming to them. Eventually, they do. Case closed. Shut the door. Turn out the light. That's it. It's not hard. Apparently, it is. Because in this day and age, if you say anything, you can't come out there and say, ah, you fat slob, ah, you're body shaming them. You can't say, oh, you this, that. Oh, no, you can't say that. You're picking on them. You're bullying them. Can't bully them. Can't make any drug references. Can't make any references to their appearance. Can't make any references to their upbringing. You can't make any references to where they're from. Well, I don't know what you want to do then. I don't know what you want to do. Then you can't have a heel. So forget it. And that's, I guess, what they're doing, Mike. They're just going to say, okay, everybody's gray area, and here we go. And I don't think that's going to fly.
I don't think it's going to fly either. I mean, was Was John Cena a gray area heel? No. Was Triple H a gray area heel? No. Was for God's sakes, when Mr. Fuji was running around saying, "I'm gonna wear your my people wore your people like lampshades," you know, was that a gray area heel? What's his name? Skandar Akbar, a gray area heel? No.
No. Sheik. You know, a lot of people forget that. A lot of people forget that in the heyday of wrestling, they say, "Oh, we never want to go back to that." Yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. What do you mean we don't? Because those were really heels. Oh, but that was terrible what they said. Yeah, that's why they're heels. Mr. Fuji literally said on air that his ancestors used the skin of shot American airmen to make lampshades. Think about that. Baron von Rothke goose-stepped all over the ring, had a Nazi swastika on his cape. We've now come to the point where The Rock can't say half of the people in this arena are crackheads. You really can't even say they're fat or ugly, because then it's, well, you body shamed them or you beauty shamed them. So all you can say is this town sucks. Every wrestler. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of these people in these comedy clubs. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. I'm here all night. And don't forget to tip your waitresses. Instead it's wrestlers saying, enter hometown is the worst place I've ever been. Can't wait to get out of. Where are we at? That's where I can't wait to get out of. And everyone here is, can I say stupid? No. Ignorant. Come on, folks. Grow a set of balls. You're going to watch professional wrestling. You got to understand that heels got to be heels. Even Drew McIntyre, they're trying to say, well, we're making Drew McIntyre a big heel. How? Half of the things he says is 100% correct. Is he being hypocritical? Yes. Is he being disingenuous? Yes. Is he really doing anything so bad that you're like, well, only a heel would do that? No. I understand his motivation. And half of the things he says is right. What's Judgment Day done lately that was horrible? What's Gunther really done that's horrible other than beat people up? Name me a heel that's doing something that you say, well, that is totally not right. Name me one. I don't know. I can't find one, damage. So where's the big heel?
Well, I think The Rock is the best you're going to get right now. I mean, he has been ruthless with the fans the past couple weeks. I love how a couple weeks ago he fooled the fans into thinking he was going to congratulate them for an attendance record. And then he fooled them, and then all of a sudden, for the biggest conglomeration of trailer park trash in one building, that was amazing. And for the crackhead thing, but at least he put the effort in before he had to apologize. I mean, he's doing some of his best heel stuff I've seen in a while.
But you know why? He's old school. If that was a young guy breaking in that had no real cred, that they couldn't say, well, we don't really tell him what to do so much because he's so famous, he wouldn't get away with that. They'd shut him right down. They'd say, you're not doing any of that. So where's the new heels coming from? Unless you've already established yourself that you say, look, I'll take this microphone and say X, Y, and Z, and to be honest with you, if you don't want me to, then I'll just stay in Hollywood. I don't give a fuck. Then they go, well, you know, we want The Rock, so I guess we have to make some concession. That wouldn't happen. You think if Austin Theory came out there and said, all you freaking crackheads in this audience and all you low-life trailer park trash, why don't you go home and smoke some meth? He'd be fired. He'd be fired. So where's the new heels coming from? I want to see some people emerge that we really say, look, I can't stand that person. Now, some people are saying, well, Gunther's not doing anything that bad. He comes off as a guy you don't like, but he's not necessarily doing anything that bad. My God, the heels used to be real heels. Now we don't have it. And I don't think we're going to in the near future. And that's a shame. Takes a lot of the fun out of professional wrestling. Anyway, we get to the main event, and the main event is Jey Uso versus Drew McIntyre. Raise your hand if you knew that Jimmy Uso would be in the building to once again cost Jey Uso the match. How predictable do you want this to be? How predictable do you want this to be? You don't need to keep doing this to build Jey and Jimmy for WrestleMania. You did it once. All you had to do is have Jey Uso come out to that ring and say, I don't know why you did that, but I want to talk to you face-to-face. Then you have them come face-to-face and have him say, look, I know you think you're a big deal. You think you're going on to greater things. You think you're going to surpass what we did as tag team champions, but you're not. You ain't no different than me, and just like I needed you for my greater success, you need me for your greater success, and I'm going to prove that to you. And have Jey say, your problem is you realize now that I can accomplish more than you, and you're jealous. You have to stick with the bloodline. You have to stick with four against one to get anything done. I don't. And it's eating you alive. So if that's what you want, I'm not big on fighting you. But if that's what I have to do to prove to you that this is done, then that's what we'll do. That's all you have to do. To have Jimmy Uso come out every week and have Jey Uso say, well, there's a surprise. It makes Jey look like an idiot. And then you had Solo come out too. And that, of course, is just so you can have Seth Rollins come out and ultimately Cody Rhodes come out. Look, I don't know where this is going. Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso, in my opinion, and it's only my opinion, the way you're building it up is not a big match. It could be, but not for this reason. You have to give it better motivation than just Jimmy Uso saying, I want to F with my brother, make sure he don't achieve too much. Well, that's not good enough. You got a nice story to tell here if you really want to, but you're not doing it. You're not going to put any time into it or effort into it, I see. And that's what Jimmy and Jey Uso's WrestleMania match is going to be, about nothing. And that's a shame because you were riding the wave of popularity with Jey Uso. Huge wave of popularity with Jey Uso. And it's still there, but it's starting to wane. And it's a shame, Mike, because, you know, I think they really could have accomplished something big at WrestleMania with Jey Uso.
Right. I think they could have accomplished something big. But here we go again. This is Jey Uso. Jey Uso, the three most popular guys there right now. Jey Uso, Cody Rhodes, and Seth Rollins. Maybe not in that order, but those are your top three faces right now, most popular faces, and they're kind of diminishing maybe two of the three. You know, right now you're probably not going to diminish Seth Rollins because people still like singing his song and all that stuff, but that's not my point. My point is they're two out of three, they're diminishing them by one, you know, doing all this stuff with Cody Rhodes and trying to take him out of finishing his story. Two, by diminishing, Jey Uso, by not making this feel like a big match. I can't remember.
When's the last time you saw Jimmy Uso have a match? When's the last time, Todd, that Jimmy Uso had a solo match that we saw to even set him up for a solo match?
Looks like 2 or 3 months ago we saw him have a singles match.
Exactly my point. That's exactly my point. It doesn't make any sense. So you're going to set Jimmy up against Jey, but you're not promoting Jimmy. You're only promoting Jimmy as screwing Jay's matches up. You're not showing us what Jimmy can do in the ring, damn it. So what is the point?
I believe there's a couple of different ways that they could make a bigger storyline with Jimmy and Jey, and they could even look outside of the box and include Trinity Fatu. Have Naomi side with Jey against Jimmy, saying, you're going too far. This is your brother. How can you do this? There's definitely different avenues they can go. Jimmy's got to do something dastardly to Jay. I mean, something really bad where you say, man, these guys can never come back together again. Then we can make it a bigger match
even
at WrestleMania.
Even if he doesn't, damn it, you got to get Jimmy in the ring. You got to show – you've gotten Jay in the ring. You put him against Gunther, and he basically won. It was just that he got distracted. You put him against the ring in Drew McIntyre, and he basically won, but he's getting distracted. How do we know that Jimmy is the equal of Jay when he's not in the ring? It doesn't make any sense. It's just pathetic. So we get that main event. We already knew what that was going to be. It was going to be hogwash. And this is the major problem that I'm seeing with the WWE and why a lot of people wrote to me and said, that was a weird show you had on Sunday, you know, mostly talking about what the future of WWE is going to be. This is why. Because this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing everybody in a gray area, so nobody's hated and nobody's really loved. I'm seeing storylines that are just based on, I don't know, I just feel like fucking with you and ruining up your match instead of giving me an actual purpose. Who's pulling the strings? Is Roman Reigns saying, make sure Jay doesn't win? No, I don't see Roman Reigns saying that. Is Paul Heyman saying, make sure you go out there for Jay's match? I don't see him doing that. The real storyline would have been if you could get Roman Reigns' ass on television again for a few minutes and literally having Roman say to Jimmy, maybe I made the wrong decision here. Came down to the point where you guys made me pick between Jay and you. And you ain't doing much, Jimmy. Maybe I made the wrong choice. Maybe I got the wrong ooze, huh? Because I see Jay out there doing a whole bunch of things. I don't see you doing anything. That way, the idea would be, I have to prove to Roman that I am the guy. And even if it means reluctantly, not with a smile on my face, reluctantly destroying my brother so that I'm the guy, then I'll do it. Because then it comes down to two brothers who reluctantly say, we're going to have to settle this at WrestleMania once and for all. And you know what the conclusion is going to be. If Jay wins, Roman's going to destroy Jimmy. And if Jimmy wins, you know, the bloodline has conquered. So you have something. You don't have anything this way. You haven't given Jimmy a solo match in forever. So how are we supposed to know that he's Jay's equal? Jay's on TV every other week with a solo match. It's just bad booking. It's very bad booking. Likewise, if you want to do something with the Judgment Day, somebody, and it should probably be Finn, somebody should step up and say to, you know, when Rhea and Damian Priest are arguing or whatever, somebody should step up and say, number one, Finn should step up and say, number one, I'm tired of you two arguing about who the leader here is. Way back when it was someone else and I took his place, you all knew who the leader was, and it's no different. That's number one. Number two, Rhea, you know what I think's happening? I think you're starting to let this crowd get to you. I think this crowd cheering you, I hear them cheering you, I think you like it. That's my problem. I think you like that. I think you like that a little bit more than being a part of the Judgment Day and being ruthless like we used to be. And Priest, I think you're jealous of Rhea. I think you hear the crowd cheering for her, and you say, maybe I want a little bit of that. Well, you better get back to what we're supposed to be and not what this crowd wants you to be. But we're going to have real problems here because I don't see either one of you as a leader. I see you leading us down a blind alley, and I don't like it. Then you'd say, okay, well, there's some controversy here for sure. We got an explosion waiting to happen. No, instead, everybody, one week they're comedy act, next week they're serious, then they're like R-Truth, they don't like R-Truth. This is just crazy. It's not working. It's not working at all. Drew McIntyre still saying, listen, fans, you know, I still appreciate you, and And, you know, and support, I get you want to try to be a gray area, but at some point you got to say, look, I gave this a shot. And you fans are just idiots because you don't get it. I'm preaching truth to power here, and you don't want to hear it because you're too busy wanting to cheer for Jey Uso, a backstabbing bastard who was with the Bloodline. You were booing him out of the building when he was beating up Sami Zayn. But now that he's beating up Drew McIntyre, you're cheering him. So how stupid are you? Do you really think they've changed? Then you'd say, okay, well, the man, he's letting it go. No, you're not doing that. It's getting to the point where nobody's interested, and that's not a good thing. Anyway, so what was this wrong? Well, there were some good matches. You know, the execution of the matches was fine. The booking and your lack – and by the way, if you're going to go with this Becky Lynch, Liv Morgan thing, and it's going to lead to some kind of three-way match at WrestleMania or even maybe a fatal four-way match at WrestleMania, can I ask you a question? What was the point of the Elimination Chamber then? What was the bloody point of the Elimination Chamber if you're going to add more people to this match? It's just silly damage, and they got to stop this.
I absolutely agree. If they're going to make her a heel or a face, they have to go one way or the other. They keep going back and forth. They're not doing her any favors. Go full heel or full face, but please pick a direction and stick to it.
Yeah, and if you're going to add it to the match, again, there's no point of having the Elimination Chamber. Then it was irrelevant who won, right? Becky Lynch won and gets a match, but Liv Morgan does too. Launch at them all then. Why have the Elimination Chamber at all? So, look, on the wrestling front, it's probably a B+. On the booking and the whatever front, it's probably a D. So I'm going to give this a middle-of-the-road C, Mike. I think it was okay, but it didn't blow me away. Well, let's see. Here we go with the phone lines again. Holy Jesus, what is going on? I'm going to try to get somebody on the phone. Let's see who we got. Damage, what's your rating this week?
I'm going to go with a B.
Well, you liked it better than me. Okay. I didn't like it as good as you. Todd, what is your rating this week?
I'm going to give it a C in the middle of the road.
Okay. And let's see if I can get Mike back on the line here. Mike, what is your rating this week?
I got to give it a C+.
Yeah, look, this was not what it should have been. You gave away the ending to an NXT match that hasn't even happened yet. You're on the verge of making the Elimination Chamber irrelevant by adding people to the title match for Rhea Ripley's title. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, okay, well, how is these matches coming along? And the Intercontinental Champion is going to face somebody he's already either A, already faced, or B, isn't worthy to really compete with. It's a shame. Anyway, we'll be back here on Friday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening.